Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Unlike like when we did the S&M anniversary shows where it was the exact same both nights because they were recording it and videoing it as well. So it needed to be consistent. But unlike the 40th anniversary concert where it was guaranteed the set list was going to be different both nights and they were going to do some deep cuts. Really a tour to promote the new album. I think they're at 6 or 7 tracks off of the album. So that's going to be a third of the set list any night is going to be new stuff. And then you throw in the stuff that you're almost always guaranteed to hear. Enter Sandman, Master of Puppets, One, Fuel. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of songs that are likely to be in almost any Metallica set list. But they have been throwing some not super deep cuts. Like when the 40th anniversary, when they pull that Fixer, which people have been waiting decades to hear live.
Right. I remember you telling
story. They're not likely to pull that one out again.
Yeah.
But there were still some songs that people were rather surprised that they were putting in the set list. Yeah. You were guaranteed to miss something if you only went the one night.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of Set Listing Bruce, your podcast all about Bruce Springsteen, his music, and mostly his fans. I am your host, Jesse Jackson, though I may get a little confused because I may start talking Doctor Who with my wonderful friend Rachel, because she often is the guest companion on Next Stop Everywhere, my Doctor Who podcast. Hey, Rachel, how you doing?
Good. Maybe we'll have to do like a crossover episode when we get that Beatles episode.
Yes, we will absolutely have to do that. Yes. Yeah. And we've got our new doctor has a jukebox. So
yes.
That's been fun to speculate and have fun with that. So
it's just a matter of whose music rights did the BBC pay for?
Yes, absolutely. So if someone, this is the third or fourth time Rachel's been on the podcast.
Third, I think.
And so she's doing the hat trick. But in case you have not heard the earliest episodes, Rachel, tell us a little bit about who's Rachel.
Yeah, I am a Midwesterner. I live in Indiana, have my entire life, which is a blessing and a curse when it comes to being able to go to concerts, because sometimes we're included. Because it's easy enough to get to us. And other times we are not included because we have lots of other major cities surrounding us, like Chicago and Cincinnati and Detroit and the like. But those are also cities that are easy enough to drive to. Detroit, which is the venue that we're going to talk about this time. So
good. And we know, our audience may not know, but you are a massive Beatles fan, and mm-hmm. we are very excited. There is talk that the Beatles will be at least partially in a storyline of the new Doctor Who that's coming in May. Mm-hmm. So I've already penciled you in Next Stop Everywhere to join us to talk about that one. But you have a couple other fandoms that you follow, don't you?
Yes, besides the Beatles, I'm a huge Weird Al fan. Seen him a good number of times. And then thanks to my husband, he has converted me into rather large Metallica fan.
Yeah, for those of you, you can hear the whole story because talk about creating a monster.
Yeah.
Rachel and her husband, when they first got together, he talked about being a Metallica fan and she's like, eh, okay. And now then there is, you could make the argument she may be a bigger fan than he is.
I might be.
Yeah.
Still, his knowledge is still deeper than mine.
Mm-hmm.
But, and he's been a fan for much longer than me, but he has not pulled the trigger on getting anything Metallica related permanently embedded in his skin like I have.
Nice. The last time we were talking, you guys had gone the trip to San Francisco, correct? For a big anniversary. And on this very network, Pantheon Network, we have an official Metallica podcast. So I was lucky enough to have the host of those on the podcast. And here in Dallas, a couple of months ago, I guess longer than that now, there was a huge kickoff, right? And they had a live thing. So what's new in Metallica world and specifically with you and your wonderful husband?
So Metallica, during the pandemic, they did do the big 40th anniversary once it was safe to do.
Yeah.
And then it got quiet, and but they constantly like, yeah, we're constantly writing songs and working on stuff. And then one day in right after Thanksgiving in 2022, those of us that are signed up for the emails got an email in our inbox, and it was like, new album coming. And we were like, sweet. They're like, here's the first track. And we're like, sweet. The album drops next spring. Sweet. Oh, there's going to be a tour. Wait, what? It was like everything all at once in one email.
That's hilarious.
Like, by the way, tickets go on sale like next week. I'm like, okay. We call the credit card company and let them know that there'll be a large purchase occurring. Be a Ticketmaster. So, but this time around, because Metallica, they've been around for more than 40 years now, so they've done everything from tiny little venues up to huge thousands of fans and everything in between. So they have earned the right to do what they want to do, even if it means bucking the traditional type of tour. So this tour with the new album, 72 Seasons, their idea was essentially, with air quotes, back-to-back show weekends. So they would go to a city, do a show Friday night, they'd have Saturday off, and that for whatever, and then Sunday would be the second show, different opening acts each night, and each set list would be different, and they would not repeat anything over the course of the weekend. Now, they could over the course of the entire tour, but you were guaranteed both nights you were going to get completely different set lists if you went to both nights.
So as a fan, is there, because my Metallica knowledge is pretty limited, because Bruce has reached the point where, and I had one of the girlfriends of Gary, who's the current bass player, and she talked about that for next summer in 2024, they are making sure they have three nights between every show. They just need that time to recuperate. But when Bruce does virtual back-to-backs within 2 or 3 days in the same city, there are certain songs he repeats because people want to hear Born to Run. They want to hear Out in the Streets, or they want to hear whatever they're doing. Is there any of those songs that people who only picked one night will miss out on, Rachel?
Probably.
Yeah.
For as long as I've been seeing them in the almost 16 years that Chauncey and I have been together.
Yeah.
Their closer traditionally has been Enter Sandman.
Yeah.
So you could go to a show and you could guarantee that was going to be the last song you're here. Doing this, Enter Sandman is still the closer, but only for one night. Mm. You know, they because this is a unlike like when we did the S&M anniversary shows where it was the exact same both nights because they were recording it and videoing it as well. So it needed to be consistent. But unlike the 40th anniversary concert where it was guaranteed the set list was going to be different both nights and they were going to do some deep cuts. A tour to promote the new album. I think they're at six or seven tracks off of the album, so that's going to be a third of the set list any night is going to be new stuff. And then you throw in the stuff that you're almost always guaranteed to hear. Enter Sandman, Master of Puppets, One, Fuel. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of songs that are likely to be in almost any Metallica set list. But they have been throwing some not super deep cuts, like when the 40th anniversary when they pulled that Fixer, which people have been waiting decades to hear live.
Right, I remember you
But
tell
they're not
story.
likely to pull that one out again. But there were still some songs that people were rather surprised that they were putting in the set list. Yeah, you were guaranteed to miss something if you only went the one night.
Do you feel, and I realize you can't speak for everyone, but do you think most people tried to make both shows, both nights, if they could afford it? Because some people can't, and there have been times when, like, I was my wife's going to look at me and go, you're lucky you're going once, Jesse. But do you think a lot of people tried to do both? And did you and Chauncey do both when you
Yes,
picked your city? Okay.
we did both. We looked at the schedule for about a half a second. We considered doing the Mexico City,
Okay.
but those are actually not till this year, so that meant we would have had to wait longer. And
Yeah.
unfortunately, places like that in the world don't necessarily know what the political climate's going to be like.
Sure, absolutely.
Some places are a little more unstable than others. We ultimately decided on Detroit, which was the last tour date for that leg.
Okay.
So they have, other than a couple of music festivals, they've been off since mid-November and they don't start up again until Memorial Day weekend for the
Did
next leg.
you kick around going to Dallas so you and I could break bread together?
Yeah. I don't think so. I think we really just it needed to be within driving distance.
And I've been told that Jerry World, the AT&T stadium, is absolutely horrible sound. And so you probably dodged a bullet, though it would be great to have met in person and shared a meal or two. Oh, all right. So you guys decided Detroit. And once again, I take it almost every show was a Friday, Sunday weekend, and they had the week off. Okay. Now, remind me, Rachel, are you someone who explores what is being played before you go, or do you want to go in no spoilers?
Yeah, I wanted to be as spoiler-free as possible.
Okay.
I know Chauncey was watching video footage and stuff on Instagram from the shows leading up to it. I didn't even want to know what the stage looked like.
Okay.
So I tried to go in as blind as possible up until I think the day before when they posted on Instagram the stage construction. I
Okay.
think was the first time I'd gotten a good look at anything. But at that point, I was like, it's the day before, it's close enough.
Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to be completely surprised as much as possible. Especially
So
after seeing him so many times. It's not
remind,
how can you be surprised?
yeah, remind us how many times you guys have seen him.
Oh goodness, I've lost track. I think these two shows, I think I'm now in the double digits.
Okay.
And I think Chauncey's got two shows ahead of that on me. So
Okay.
he saw them like once before we got together, and he saw them once not long after we got together, but I had not converted yet. So.
Okay.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Good. All right, let's go through. Well, what surprised you about the first night? Or let's talk about, we're going to break down both of them. So What were some of the highlights of the first night, and then we'll get to the second night?
Well, one thing that we agreed on when we realized that this was a thing, even though after the 40th anniversary show, we're like, okay, Metallica, give us time to catch our breath. And then they go and drop this on us, and Chauncey and I looked at each other and they're like, they just announced celebrated 40 years. They're not getting any younger. Who knows when they're going to decide to hang it up. Let's go big or go home. So we ended up getting the highest package, ticket package that they were selling for this particular tour.
Okay.
Which included tickets, admission for both shows, for both nights. It was in the Snake Pit, which is for this particular setup, they were doing a stage in the round as you can get.
Okay.
And so the Snake Pit was in the middle. The Snake Pit was in the middle of the donut. And then everybody else was outside of that, either in standing room or, in seats.
Okay.
And included access to the box lounge.
Okay.
Free ticket. Some swag, which I can get into, and it's split between the two nights. In our case, with our group, the first night we got to do a meet and greet. Our meet and greet was with Kirk and Rob, and then the second night we got a on stage and backstage tour.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good. When experiences are what if you're going to spend money, experiences are always memorable, right? And doing that when you're in the Snake Pit, as you mentioned, how do you pick because it's a circle, so I take it the whole band is around. Where do you guys like to stand?
The first night, because we didn't really have an idea of, where they were going to be when we just picked, and we moved a little bit because the crowd would move, and sometimes you don't have a choice, even if you're like, I found a really good spot, I want to keep it.
Yeah.
But we realized that with them being in the round, obviously three out of the four guys are wireless, so they can just go wherever. But what they did for Lars is they divided the stage into four quarters, and he has a drum set that will rise from underneath the stage so that for a quarter of the show, he's in one spot, and then each quarter he moves to a different drum set, and then that drum set also rotate 180 degrees throughout the quarter of the set list that he's
that
in that section.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There really wasn't a bad place to stand.
Okay.
Because, yeah, you could assume wherever Lars was, eventually one of them would come over because they like to make faces at each other and that sort
sure.
of thing. But they all did a really good job of getting up and moving around as much as possible, which we really appreciated. But yeah, so we just found a spot and just tried to hold it.
Yeah.
That's been good.
How long was the show?
Let's see, from the time the doors open to the public till it's over, I think it's 5 or 6 hours. They had two opening acts each night. First night was Mammoth and then Pantera.
Okay.
And then the second night it was Ice Nine Kills and then Five Finger Death Punch.
Okay.
And then Metallica comes on and they go for 2, 2.5 hours. Yeah, if you include the opening acts, it's a good 3, 4 hours.
That's a long time to be standing, and I am old and can't
yes.
do that.
And we did not. We missed both Mammoth and Ice Nine Kills and
okay.
most of Pantera the first night, mostly because there was such a delay in getting us into the building.
Okay.
Which was unfortunate. There were some issues with who knows what. I'm assuming security of some sort.
Right.
Because we had to do COVID tests, rapid COVID tests for anyone doing the meet and greet, because they didn't want anybody
yeah,
giving
sure,
the guys
that
COVID. So the poor guy that was doing the COVID test was also the person that had to make sure that the people were where they needed to be for the right group. And he was wearing a lot of hat, and we couldn't do anything until every COVID test had completed. And
wow.
There's even the rapid tests, there's a good 4 or 5 minute wait, even for a rapid test. So it took a while for them to finally bring us inside, a lot later than I think we originally expected. And it was cold, unfortunately. This is Michigan, mid-November. And it's cold outside and very
yeah.
windy. So they finally got us in and they took us to the Black Box Lounge, which is the Ford, presumably private lounge for Ford employees, my guess, which is upstairs above one of the restaurants that's inside Ford Field. And they only gave us a few minutes to look around, because at this point we were grossly behind schedule and constantly having to do head counts and then re-head counts and make sure we had the right people. So it's a whole thing, you know, it's like herding cats. And then they rushed us from that to the backstage area where the meet and greet was taking place, which was right near the Lions doctor team. Doctor's
okay.
office. So they made us, they made any belongings we had, phones, whatever, they made us put on a table. They had us sit down in chairs and explained how it was going to go. Is that they didn't tell us which band members we were going to get. They're going to come in.
Yeah.
We're going to do photos first, and then you'll sit back down and we'll do a Q&A. And so when Rob and Kurt came in, they just went row by row. Did the photos with the package that we got, because technically we were two separate tickets. We each got our own photo. So what
oh,
we
nice.
Did is with one of our photo essentially credits, it's a photo of Chauncey and I with Robin and Kirk. And then the other photo credit is just me turned so that I'm showing off my new ink. Because a couple weeks before I'd finally finished my Metallica tattoo.
Okay.
We finished it on Halloween. And so it was still not even completely healed yet. But at this point I was like, I need a shot of the ink with the guys from Metallica. So it was really cool. I was able to print a copy of that off and give it to the gal who did my tattoo. She said, this is the first time that somebody I've done something with for a brand or whatever, and it's been seen by the people that it's representing. I'm like, eh. There you go. And the Q&A, I didn't know that the Q&A was part of it, because Chauncey's got a cousin and her husband that did a meet and greet pre-COVID.
Okay.
And they were just standing like in a hallway, because they had to go to Myrtle Beach or something. And they were just like standing in a backstage hallway waiting. And they got 3 out of the 4, because James does not do meet and greets.
Okay.
And so the guys just went down the row and shook hands and took photos of people's phones. And, you know, maybe you got a couple seconds to chat, and then that was it. Mm-hmm. So the fact that we got to sit down and got 10, 15 minutes to just ask questions or have them tell us stories was, I think, rather cool.
Yeah, that's absolutely.
So we got to hear them. Got both Kirk and Rob are really big into surfing. Rob was telling us about how Kirk made him dinner one night and how good that was. So it was rather fun. So
did you get to ask a question?
I did not. I did comment.
Okay.
Because when the guys were starting to promote the album, they went on Jimmy Kimmel. And Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, one of the Jimmys.
Okay.
Anyway, one of the Jimmys. And one of the questions they'd asked him is, what is the first album you ever bought?
Okay.
And Rob's was like Santana, and I can't remember what the others. And then Kirk was like, I don't want to say. And then they found, okay, it was the Partridge Family Christmas album.
Yeah.
And it just so happened, I found a used copy at a used book and record store last summer. And I bought it and held on to it for Chauncey's birthday last October, and gave
nice.
It to him. So that he told Kirk, he was like, now what was that album that you said that your first album was? And Kirk was like, the Partridge Family. And I'm like, I got him a copy.
That is awesome. Had
yeah.
this been the first time you had gotten to interact with them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, for me, it was not, but it was cool. It was a very cool experience. But yeah, I've been very fortunate to have, at this point, a large number of celebrity experiences from going to different comic conventions and stuff.
Yeah.
And sometimes I get starstruck and sometimes I don't. This is one of those times where I wasn't.
Yeah.
The entire time, I'm just, this is really cool. I'm glad we paid for this.
You yeah,
know?
That's good. Yeah. That's
I
nice.
Think we're getting our money's worth. I hope it continues.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. What is there when we get to the actual set list?
Mm-hmm.
Any surprises, or what were highlights of the first night set list?
I think for me, they did. We can have a couple of or not acoustic, but instrumentals that are part of their catalog. Usually the one they do is Call of Cthulhu. That's their most common one. They did do Anesthesia Pulling Teeth as a tribute to Cliff Burton for the SNM2 anniversary show. But this time around, they pulled out Orion, which is when they don't play a whole lot. And that was really cool, especially considering where we were standing. That happened to be the time where Lars was actually closest to us. So occasionally the guys would come over and play near his drum set. So to get to hear that with them, like right there, was really cool. They do nothing other than that. Nothing really jumped out as unusual. You got Through the Never, obviously. You got several of the tracks off the new album, Lux Aeterna, which honestly I think should have been the title of the album instead of 72 Seasons, but they didn't ask me. Too Far Gone, that's another one off the new one. Nothing Else Matters, Hardwired, Fuel, which is one of my personal favorites. It's one of the songs that is referenced in my tattoo. Yeah, and then they ended with Master Puppets because that's the song that everybody wants to hear, and everybody loses their minds the minute that it starts. So the first night was really just taking everything in and figuring out, like, how's this setup going to work with this stage? And is the sound, are we going to, does it matter where we stand as far as the sound is concerned or not really?
Okay.
At least in my opinion, we did buy those, what they call loops. They're like a earplug, but they make some specifically for going to music events. So you're not like a traditional earplug where you're just blocking out as many decibels as possible.
Right.
This is supposed to narrow it down so that you're really only getting the decibels that humans are supposed to be hearing.
Oh, nice.
And for me, I really liked wearing them because really it helped block out a lot of the excess noise of the people around me, whatever decibel or whatever that the human voice is at got filtered out. Really, I was just hearing Metallica and not having to worry about the people around me, especially as the evening went on and beers were consumed. And it is in Michigan, certain other substances are also legal. Yeah. In that state. Yeah, the first night was, as far as the crowd was concerned, not that terrible. The second night, we'll get to that.
All right, yeah, I want to do that. Before I do that, I did curious, what do you think of the new album?
I like it.
Yeah.
I really like it. Yeah, there's some really good tracks on there. When it first released, Chauncey was immediately jumping on it and listening to it. And occasionally he'd be like, this song's really starting to grow on me. And I'd be like, that's nice. I was not listening to it by itself. I have a mega list on Spotify playlist. That's the entire Metallica catalog.
Yeah.
And I just put that on random. Okay. Occasionally a song from the new album would pop up and I'd be like, hey.
Yeah.
I like this song. And some of them have grown on me. But yeah, no, I think it's really good.
Right.
It's nothing really is. There's really any stinkers on it. It was just like with any album, there's going to be one or two songs that people are going to like more than others, but that's just personal preference.
So Rachel, what did you guys do your free night? What did you do on the skip night?
Slept.
Okay.
We stayed at a Holiday Inn in a suburb of Detroit because all the closest hotels wanted obscene amounts of money. So we opted for to get reward points.
Yeah.
Stay at a Holiday Inn. So we were in a suburb about 15, 20 minutes from downtown. So not terrible. Our room was not actually ready. We went to the hotel first. Our room was not ready. By the time we needed to actually head to Ford Field. So we didn't get checked in until after the show. It was just after midnight. So by the time we got to the hotel, checked in, loaded the car.
Yeah.
Got something to eat, showered, cleaned up. It was like 3 in the morning. So we just crashed, put the do not disturb sign on the handle. And we're like, we'll wake up when we wake up. And it was late afternoon by the time we finally woke up. So we went out long enough to go. We had dinner at this hole-in-the-wall pizza place called Pie Sai that's out near one of the smaller universities, which is really cool. If you like pizza, but you like pizza that's like outside the box, highly recommend it. I wanted the pizza. There were so many of them were looked and sounded so good that we ended up getting 2 pieces apiece.
Okay.
Which they technically were personal size, but it was still a lot of pizza between two people. But one of my pizzas, it had, instead of pizza sauce, they used potato soup. And it had corn and bacon and cheese and chunks of potato.
Wow.
I know. It was so good. And then my other one was a BLT. It was ranch with bacon, lettuce, and tomato.
That's fun.
It is. But near there, in one of the nearby neighborhoods, is a local lending library. I'm okay. sure a lot of people, most people are probably used to seeing like the little free library. It looks like a birdhouse.
Yeah.
But you can put books in there and you can take a book and it doesn't cost anything. It's just something good for the community. In Detroit, they have one, but it's a full scale size TARDIS.
Wow.
Yes. You go up to it and you open the doors and it looks like the interior of the TARDIS. And what they've done is they've put the sliding barn doors inside. So they've painted the console room on these barn doors. And then when you push those barn doors aside, there's the shelves with all the books.
Oh, that sounds nice. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we had to stop and see Sexy.
Oh, I'm going to do that. So I have a similar story. So this past weekend, as we're recording this, Linda gave me permission to go up to Oklahoma City. Jason Isbell was playing. He was the middle act. The Turnpike Troubadours were the main act, but he was playing, and I did not realize. I thought they were headlining when I bought tickets. But Linda, I said, I want to be selfish. She goes, okay, be greedy. So I had both Friday and Saturday night tickets. And so I left work just a little bit early, drove to Oklahoma City, got there in time. Like you said, couldn't check in the hotel, didn't just straight to the venue. And then, so I got in and it was pretty late. And so I woke up in time to get the free breakfast because I was at a Hampton. And then I took some of the food from the thing, put it in a plate and brought it up, put it in the microwave, went back to sleep about 1:30, woke up, had my breakfast lunch, went back, took another nap. And Linda's, I'm so proud of you. I was like, no, I'm just going to nap and read. And then I went to see the second show Saturday night. And Jason did about half the same songs. So it was a good thing for me. All right. So you guys got a little bit of rest. You had some potato and BLT pizza. Talk about the show the next night.
So the next night was Sunday. So we got up and headed back downtown. We were hoping we could go ahead and park at Ford Field and we would just walk. But apparently they were not allowing people to park in the parking garage until a certain time.
Okay.
Okay. A little annoying, but whatever. But we wanted to go to the pop-up shop. Very much Spirit Halloween comes into town, takes over currently unused storefront. Metallica was doing the same thing at each city, and they would have merchandise that you could not buy anywhere else. So we wanted to hit that. So we ended up going to it, which was 10 minutes away from the venue, but we had to pay for parking there close to the pop-up shop. And there was a line. It was out the door and around the corner, but it wasn't terrible. And it wasn't as cold. The sun was out this time. It wasn't as terrible to be outside. And the line was moving rather quickly. And we finally got in and we're looking at the stuff to see if there's anything that, you know, catches our eye. And Chauncey and I ended up getting matching coats. It is real nice, medium weight. They look like racing jackets, like you would see someone down in the pit at like a Formula One race or something.
Okay.
We've had a couple of people actually been like, are you guys like on a racing team or something? Because it's just black and it's got like the yellow stripe and then it's got the 72 logo. So it's real subtle. If you don't know what it is. So people can be confused thinking that we're some kind of racing team or something. Like, no, it's Metallica. But it's this real nice heavy canvas on the outside, deep pockets. It's got the yellow lining. It's quilted, the satiny lining on the inside. So until it got like really cold, like sub-zero, I was wearing that almost on a daily basis because it's just a good weight. And then I end up getting the sweatshirt actually that I'm wearing right now, which is their partnership with Wolverine, which is kind of an outdoor company like Eddie Bauer, where they make like outdoor clothing and other stuff like camping and stuff. But Metallica has been teamed up with them for a while, and they, any of the this merchandise that gets sold, a portion of it goes to their Metallica Scholars Program, which in turn goes to underfunded arts programs in schools. It was just a, it's a, and it, I've been almost living in this sweatshirt. I'm usually not a hoodie person, but this hoodie is so soft. It's so nice. I've been practically living in it since I got it. We dropped a pretty penny, but honestly, I don't think it was actually that bad. You would think throw the theme Metallica on something and then they would jack the price way up. But honestly, I mean, for like t-shirts and that kind of stuff, I think it's a little overpriced, but actually for things like the coats, if you walked into Macy's or something and wanted to get a coat of a similar quality, you would pay the same price we did, if not more.
Yeah.
So, and the cost per wear is quickly going down.
Yes, exactly. All right. So you already spoiled that the crowd was not as good the second night. So tell me a little bit about that, Rachel.
I don't know if this was because it was Sunday or if it was just, I don't know if maybe the opening acts bring in a particular kind of crowd. I'm not entirely sure what it is, but we got there at the time we were told to, so that they could double check our credentials for our tour. And we thankfully did not have to wait outside in the freezing cold, which they had even told us, we're going to work on things so you're not stuck outside as much on Sunday. And that's exactly what they did. So I'm like, great. We didn't have to do the COVID test this time because we weren't meeting Metallica.
Yeah.
But they immediately took us to the stage out down on the field. And to the stage, and the guy was, was a really great tour guide. He works for Metallica, so he knows his stuff. And they took us up on the stage and let us wander to a certain point, made sure to let us know where we could and could not stand. Don't stand on the trap door that they use for Lars's drum kits because it's not meant for people to stand on.
Yeah.
Because it's calibrated just for like Lars's weight and the weight of the drum kit.
Yeah.
Make sure we didn't step on some of the lights and accidentally crack any of those. But like we could take some of the microphones were set up already. Ice Nine Kills had some of their stuff already set up because they were the first act to go out. They're like, so you don't touch anything, take selfies, whatever. They told us about the sound system, the speakers that they use, some of the speakers they use are custom made. And they're also the same speaker setup they use for their whiskey brand, Black and Whiskey.
Okay.
Which every batch of Black and Whiskey, while it's maturing, is put in a room with those speakers and played a specific set list of Metallica's music. And they use that in the aging process. Yes.
That is very interesting.
Yeah. They're telling us about the however many hundreds of miles of cable and duct tape they use and how they don't, but they don't want to rely on the power grid of whatever city they're in. So they bring in two supersized generators to power everything. And how many people work on these things on permanent crew. I think he said they got a couple hundred people that are permanent crew that'll be the go city to city. They will also bring in union electricians, riggers, that sort of thing at each city to help because it takes them a good 24 hours of nonstop work to get everything set up. At least really appreciate all the work that goes into it. I said something to Chauncey. They've got hundreds of people that are permanent staff working on this stuff. And inflation sucks. And ticket prices for some things have seemed to got a little outrageous. And part of that is Ticketmaster's fault and their monopoly on ticket broking in the first place.
Yeah.
And all their fees and stuff. But when you figure how many people work on these things for weeks on end, traveling across the country, around the world, away from their families, they got to get paid too.
Yeah.
So once you figure how many people that your ticket price is spread out to, it doesn't necessarily seem as bad.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like you're dropping. Yeah. I saw Paul McCartney, I think between our two tickets, $100, $350 after all Ticketmaster fees.
Yeah.
When you figure that gets spread out, not just Paul and his band, but all the other people, that's like nothing. It's a couple of dollars per person working on this thing. But it was really cool to be able to stand up on the stage. Chauncey at one point walked down because there's James's spot where all of his guitars are set up.
Yeah.
In their little cubbies, but then there's a chair that's got the 72 Seasons logo on it. And then James, presumably wrote in Sharpie, Papa Het's ass here. Mm-hmm. This is James's spot with James's ashtray, because James, after going to rehab again, like his one vice that he allows himself two cigars per show.
Okay.
So that's where he smokes them, is right there. Like where we were standing as Metallica came out, but they weren't on stage yet, but we could smell cigar smoke from where we were standing.
Funny.
So, hey, James, lit up. But then they took us backstage to where they have the store, a lot of the huge crates and stuff for all the equipment.
Yeah.
They've got some camera controls that are back there. They've got some sound control back there. A lot of it was familiar from the time I interned with the NBA, with the broadcasting department. So some of it looked a little familiar, you know. And then the guy that did our tour also gave us a chance to do a little Q&A, asked specific numbers and that sort of thing, asked, do you get a chance to actually visit the cities when you travel to them? Are you too busy working? Unfortunately, most of the time we're too busy working to actually visit. How long does it take for stuff to get from one place? Or I think they use like 80 trucks.
Sure.
And he said that because the next leg starts overseas at the end of May, I think in March, stuff will have to start going on like freighter ships to start going over to Europe. It's a lot of logistics. Somebody asked about, is Metallica ever gonna, they have stuff in the vaults, as it were, that maybe will ever get released? Because the Beatles, we just got in that last Beatles song.
Yeah.
Not long before that. He's like, no. Anything that they don't want out is never coming out. Yeah. The guys have control over that. And even once they hang it up, you're not likely to have pulled from the vaults, never heard before type releases from Metallica. And
that's
he
interesting.
Did. Yeah. They asked, and then somebody asked about Metallica's like timeline of when they think they might retire, especially considering we've got some bands that are still going and then some that retired like 12 times, like Cher. I saw her the first time she retired. The first farewell tour.
Yeah.
John just retired. Aerosmith is supposed to be retiring.
Yeah.
And he said that they maybe will go to their 50th anniversary, and that'll probably be it. So you're looking at less than a decade left probably before Metallica hangs it up. So if you want to see them, you might want to get on it. Just saying.
That reminds me of a joke that was going around social media. Is husband Bruce coming up in 24? He's 74. We don't know how much longer he's going to make it. This could be the last tour. And the wife goes, bullshit. That's what you said last year.
Mm-hmm.
That guy's never dying.
Yeah. Well, yes. I mean, that was our justification for spending the money that we did this particular package.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was like, even if they keep going, who's to say we will have the money the next go round? So it's, we know we can do it now. And then we don't have to like do this again. We say we've done pretty much everything a Metallica fan can do.
And it sounds like overall it was a great experience.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. All right, so let's talk set list second night. Let's talk about highlights and things. And it sounds like you may have a story about audience members.
Yeah, yeah. Second night, again, I don't know if it was Five Finger Death Punch brings in a particular crowd of people. I don't know. But we missed Ice Nine Kills and we missed a little bit of Five Finger Death Punch. I actually did want to see at least some of their set list. So once we were done with the tour, they were like, you can go ahead and go into the snake pit so you get a good spot for the opening acts. Or if you want to go to the lounge, you can. We wanted to go to the lounge because the lounge included food. So this is our chance to get a quote unquote free meal because it's included. And it was a different menu than it had been the night before. So that was nice. We had drink tickets for both nights. They had a full bar. So that was nice. So we went, because we didn't get a chance to look at the lounge really the first night. We wanted to use this time to really check it out. And it's really cool because what it does is it pulls a lot of their memorabilia out of storage and sets it up so that fans can look at it. So they have things like Grammy Awards. There's a Moon Man from MTV. They had handwritten lyrics from songs, which I cracked up. I'll have to send you the picture, but they had Dave Mustaine's handwritten lyrics from The Four Horsemen. But the way he wrote it, it's Four Horsemen on the top. And then in the corner, like you would in school, it says D. Mustaine. And then it has like all the lyrics and you see where he scratched out because he decided on a different word. And it's like Dave Mustaine's first draft for his creative writing class.
Oh, that's funny. That's great. I would have liked seeing that. Yeah.
And they had little photo ops set up. They looked like some of the different covers. So they had the exploded baby bassinet from the 72 Seasons cover. Of course, they had the field of crosses for Master Puppets. They had the electric chair for Ride the Lightning. So fans could pose with those and take photos and selfies and stuff. They had a full equipment set up with drums, a bass, and a couple of guitars. Those are used instruments that the guys have used. They are stage used, but we were allowed to pick them up and pose with them and take photos and stuff.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so it was really cool. And they were doing like trivia and stuff. We were too busy stuffing our faces and drinking and taking selfies to participate in any of that. But it was rather fun to be able to do all that. And then we went down and as Five Finger Death Punch was doing their thing, we were working our way through the crowd to finally get into the snake pit. And Five Finger Death Punch ended. They did the stage changeover. Every Metallica show pretty much starts the same way with the AC/DC song. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. And then Ecstasy of Gold, which is from The Good, The Bad, The Ugly. And that's usually when Metallica comes out. And then they'll go into whatever the show opener is. In this case, they started with Whiplash, which was like, we're coming out of the gate running here. There were a few surprises. Whiplash, them coming right out of the gate with that was like a shot off like a rocket. They did Dirty Window, which is one they don't normally do a lot. They usually don't tend to do a lot of stuff from Saint Anger anyway, because that is like the least favorite album of the entire catalog. James even said at one point, he's okay, now we're going to do a song from your favorite album, Saint Anger. I was like, okay, James. You could tell that they were having a lot of fun. That's the thing. Being in the snake pit and being that close, even if I had been smack dab in the middle of it, I still would have been technically, measurement-wise, closer to the guys than if we had been anywhere else, really. And just watching their faces, you could just tell that they were just having so much fun. How much of that was they knew this was the last part of this leg, so that they were going to be off for a while? They're going to go back to their families, their kids, celebrate the holidays, maybe that sort of thing. But I think also it was just being there with the fans and seeing them sing along and having so much fun. You know, that was a lot of fun to be able to see that. Okay, they did some cuts from the new album, 72 Seasons, If Darkness Had a Son. They did Call of Cthulhu as the other instrumental. The Unforgiven, Wherever I May Roam, which is one of my favorites. But one surprise was Whiskey in the Jar, which itself is a cover. If people aren't familiar with it, it's a drinking song, essentially. I don't know who the original artist is that first ever recorded it, but that's not when the Metallica normally does in the United States. That's when they save for when they're in the UK, because it's got Celtic references to it in the song. The fact that they pulled that one out there and did it in freaking Detroit, Michigan, I was like, it took me a few bars for it to register that that was the song that they were doing, because I'm like, wait a minute, we're in America, they don't do this song here. But that was really cool.
That's fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, because they did a Garage Inc. It was an album ages ago that's all covers. But usually, if they do any of them, it's their cover of Turn the Page. So the fact that they did Whiskey in the Jar in Detroit, of all places, I was like, okay, I'm not complaining. Yeah. And of course, they ended with Enter Sandman, as they do. And then after that show was over, we actually had to wait as everyone else was streaming out, so we could pick up the rest of our swag that was part of our ticket package.
So and let's that talk about that.
That includes a set of the each show, not just each city, but each show in each city had its own unique show poster.
Okay.
But you take the two posters together and it makes a larger design.
Ooh,
cohesive
nice.
Design. So you can go online and see the pairs for each city. So we each got a set of posters, because there's one for each ticket. And then we each got our own copy of the set list.
Okay.
Printed out on a sheet of paper. It's got night one, night two. It's got both the set lists on there, signed by the entire band with our names.
Wow.
Personalized with our names. So Chauncey's got one, it says Chauncey, and it's got all four signatures. And then mine says Rachel, and it's got all four signatures. So we have not met James Hetfield, but we each have James Hetfield's autograph. So
that is cool that you're gonna get that's cool to post somewhere. That's pretty
slick.
It
took till after Christmas, but I finally got after the new year, but we finally got everything up on our wall.
Yeah.
Up on the walls, because the posters are huge, so they take up a lot of space. And we already have a set of posters from the 40th anniversary shows.
Sure.
That are on a different wall, taking up almost the entire space. But then we had the photos of us with Kirk and Rob. We had a bunch of guitar picks, because our drink tickets at the lounge were guitar picks, but they said one drink on them. But then we also got the show specific guitar picks for the second night. That was part of, they gave those to us as part of the tour. Chauncey managed to snag one of Pantera's, one of the guys in Pantera's guitar picks. So we had that. We had we had a couple of different paper wristbands for each night. And then we had our actual ticket, which really is like a really fancy lanyard, hard holographic thing you'd get if you went to Comic-Con, that's just like VIP, and it's the design from one of the posters. On one side it's the design from one night, and then on the other side it's the design for the other night, but it says VIP full access or whatever on really nice lanyards and stuff. And then we each got Metallica branded Yeti tumblers. I'm glad we drove, because we walked away with a lot of stuff, plus the stuff we bought at the pop-up.
it sounds like you had a pretty full, very nice swag.
And on the way to town, we stopped at Tim Hortons, because we were in the neighborhood. So
there you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Everybody wins.
They're actually talking about, we may get a Tim Hortons here in Dallas, which would be fun. I've done it at Winnipeg. I've gone there, and
we had a couple, and they've not survived.
Yeah,
people. I guess the people in Indiana were. I don't know if this is because this is Dunkin' country or what.
Yeah, well,
they just
we
don't.
The
they
same
don't get
thing.
It.
Krispy Kremes did not last in Dallas. We had two or three Krispy Kremes, and they didn't last.
Yeah, you know? The one I have that was down by me now is a mattress storefront.
Yeah. Which was sad. Yeah.
Yep.
Rachel, this sounds like a blast. This sounds like a best weekend just ever.
Yeah. I definitely think we got our money's worth. It was, you know, we're going through Ticketmaster.
Yeah.
Going two of these. And yeah. then going through and they're like, and then they start adding all the Ticketmaster fees.
Yeah.
Which was probably a good 10% of our total.
Yeah.
At least. So
yeah.
If you take it away, the total still would have been really high, but not as high.
Yeah.
But to get to the, this is the total amount. Do you want to pay this? And we're like, yes.
Yeah, well,
but considering it was 11 months between the purchase and the actual show, it didn't feel as bad,
yeah.
I think, because we paid that ages ago.
Oh, yeah. So, that money's been gone.
Yeah.
I had the same, I've told the story before, but someone reached out to me when Bruce was on Broadway and says, I can get you a ticket. We can get you a ticket. You know, and the price was expensive. Wasn't quite four figures, but it was in the middle range, right? And so I went to Linda and I said, there's often questions we ask in a marriage where you have to say yes. Like when you say, do you care if my sister comes over? I have to say yes. I have to say no, I don't care. Yeah, can my sister come over? Of course you can. Can we do this? Yes. I said, you do not have to say yes to this. I am being crazy. And, but she says, let's see if we can make it happen. And we did. And it was, I flew to New York, got to go to see Bruce, flew back the next day. And it was, to me, a once in a lifetime experience getting to see him when that small of a venue, telling the story, getting to see him and Patty sing was worth every penny. It sounds like you guys had the same experience.
Yes. Yeah. Like I said, it's, if we knew this was like the farewell tour, absolutely we would do it. But even once the farewell tour, which there actually is not likely to be, from what our tour guide told us, is they're not going to do Cher or like Elton John, where it's going to be this big thing. They're just going to be like, you know, they'll tour, and then when it's over, they'll be like, yep, that was it.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, they don't plan on doing some big fanfare farewell type thing, which, knowing that now, makes it even easier, I think, to justify, because we don't know when the farewell is going to be.
Yeah,
this could
exactly.
be it for all we
yeah,
know. Something
absolutely.
Could happen and they decide to call it quits sooner than they originally expected. And like I said, there's no way to know if we would have the money in the future. It's, we can do it now. We've got the money now. It makes sense. It's, let's just do it. You know, it's one of those things where it's this, the being able to tell, because it was right before the holiday. So when we went to Thanksgiving, we were able to tell the stories to all the family we saw then. And then at Christmas time, when we'd see friends and family, they'd be like, hey, tell us about that Metallica shows you went to in Detroit. Yeah. And we get to tell them all about, and they're like, oh, that's so cool. And since we'd had two sets of the posters, we gave the other set to his cousin and her husband, the ones that had saw them in Myrtle Beach or wherever it was, because they had given us a dollar bill that they'd had autographed by Lars, Rob, and Kirk.
Nice.
As a surprise. Because that was, again, pre-COVID, that's the way the meet and greets went, is you just took your photos with your phone and you had them sign whatever you had on you.
Yeah.
And that was it. So when they gave us that, and one of their daughters, who we consider a niece, is a huge Metallica fan. She's in love with Lars. So they're actually going to redo one of the walls in their bonus room and put up the posters they got from the show where they did the meet and greet. Plus, because they had won theirs, it also included vinyls of the entire Metallica catalog.
Wow.
So they're going to frame all the vinyls and hang those up too. So then they're going to add our posters with it. And we gave them a couple of guitar picks and some of the other handout stuff from the VIP lounge. It was a little kind of, hey, we're the weirdos in this family that really love Metallica.
This sounds awesome. That sounds great.
Share the love.
Rachel, it's always fun catching up with you. I appreciate it. Before I get you out of here, though, tell everyone where they can hear you talk about all kinds of fun, geeky stuff.
Oh my goodness. If you are into cinema, you can find me on Gold Standard, the Oscars podcast with DJ Nick and Zan. And we are every other week, and we have been watching and reviewing every single Academy Award winner for Best Picture in chronological order. And as we're recording this, we are caught up because our next episode is Everything Everywhere All at Once. So until we get the Academy Awards in March, we don't know what our next Best Picture winner is going to be. Probably Oppenheimer if things continue the way it's going.
Yeah.
More than likely, because the Academy totally screwed over Barbie. Not that Barbie got nominated for Best Picture, but yeah, that's some a discussion for things. Gold Standard.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, that can be found wherever you find casts. Gold Standard, the Oscars podcast. Again, that's every other week. And then every week, usually, you can find me with the Five-ish Fangirls podcast, where we talk about all sorts of geeky and nerdy topics from the female perspective, because fangirls are real fans too. And we can also be found pretty much wherever you find podcasts and at the fiveishfangirls.com, where you can connect with all of our various social media accounts and our personal ones as well, which is where you're going to find my pictures and stuff from the show. Although I will send Jesse some of the choice photos to
absolutely
go with this episode.
I definitely want the selfie or with you showing off your ink and the
yes.
Band. That, yeah.
Yes.
I want to see that one for sure. Yep. Rachel, thank you so much. I am so happy that we got to catch up. I know we had planned to do this before the beginning of the year, but I had a job change. And so I had to reschedule everything. So thank you for being patient and enjoying it. And I am looking forward to seeing what Zan, DJ, and you do for in the meantime. I know you guys have some plans.
We so do, I'm looking and we forward will, to it. We'll be announcing that in our next episode. So
very nice. All right, listeners, go check out those podcasts. It's absolutely fun. I've been lucky enough to be invited to a couple of Best Picture discussions. We always have a great time talking about the films and sharing. And Rachel, as I mentioned, often joins us on Next Stop Everywhere to talk about The Doctor. And we are planning on having her. The theory is, the rumor is that in May, June, sometime during this new Doctor run, there is going to be an episode that features a Beatles storyline. And so Rachel will have to be on. So it's mandatory. But in the meantime, please check out the podcast. Thank you for listening. Be safe, be kind, and we'll talk to you soon. I'm about to name some people who helped me keep this podcast going. They are the wonderful members of my Patreon group. I appreciate each of them. You can learn how to be a patron by going to patreon.com, look for Set Lusting Bruce, and for as little as $5 a month, you can support the podcast and get access to unedited episodes. And as little as $1 a month, you get a handwritten thank you note from me and a shout out at least once a month thanking you in an episode. So, Sean, David and Jennifer, Jeff, Sylvan, Liz, Yetta, Steve, Coach Randy, Rob, Bella, John, Betsy, Levi, Liz, Stephen, and Steve, Dale, Terry, Chris, and Mary. All of you are amazing, and thank you for being part of this wonderful group. You know I love you.
There we go, another episode. I'm about to go through a couple of things where you can reach me and give me feedback. So if you want to skip this, I understand. But I do hope you check it out every once in a while. I'm available on Twitter at Jesse Jackson DFW. The show is available at Set Lusting Bruce.
You can send me an email, setlustingbruce@gmail.com. You can send me a voicemail at 469-249-2442. I am currently doing a few other podcasts, Perfectly Good Podcast, John Hiatt from A to Z, where Sylvan Groth and I discuss every John Hiatt song in alphabetical order. My Babylon 5 podcast is Last Best Hope for Conversation, where Lou Karen and I discuss every episode of Babylon 5 in chronological order. I still am doing Next Stop Everywhere, the Doctor Who podcast with my brother in time, Charles Skaggs. And then finally, How Many Podcasts, the only podcast on the internet that counts, where my buddies and I discuss pop culture. You can go to our Patreon page and support the podcast for as little as $1 a month. You can go to our Facebook page, like, and please, please go to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast and leave a 5-star rating and review for all of the podcasts that I'm doing. It's okay if you don't listen to them, but if you subscribe and rate, it really will make my day better. Thank you, and I will talk to you soon.
You just heard the fun-talking, hard-rocking, music-loving, album-ranking, fan-thinking, joy-spreading, lyric-reading, story-sharing podcast that is the one, the only, Set Listing Bruce. The theme for Set Listing Bruce was written by David Rosen, used by permission.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.